In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christos Anesti. I wanted to begin this morning by recalling a vignette from my own life. And it comes from a time I was serving a church that had a Greek festival. Actually, truth be told, most churches do. I don't miss it at all. And one year, the man who had chaired the festival for many years got his nose out of joint about something, and he said, "I'm not going to do it." So the young parish council president, he was a lawyer in his early 30s, and I were tasked with putting on the Greek festival. And they were running low on t-shirts that they were selling, and they were trying to figure out how many to order. And I don't remember the exact figures, but I said, "Well, you know, how much you paying for them wholesale?" They said, $10. And how many do you want to order? And they told me, and I said, "Well, here's your break-even point. If you sell this many, you'll have break-even. Anything more than that is going to be profit. And even if we have some left over, just sell them at a discount. It's all profit." My secretary, a nice Methodist lady, famous for once telling me when we were talking about Mr. Rogers being a minister, she said to me once, "Yes, Father, he's very soft-spoken, like most clergy." She's actually said that. But then she said, "Where did you go to seminary?" I said, "I didn't go to seminary, but I took high school math. This is a high school math problem. It's very easy. And what we forget when we're learning our math growing up is that the whole point of taking math is so that not only to learn how to think, so that you can actually create for yourself word problems, quote unquote, and then solve the word problems. And it's why when we're studying math, you've heard me say this before perhaps, at least in confession in different contexts, but when we're studying math, the word problems are the important problems. They're not the extra credit, they're the whole reason we're doing it. So our altar boys who are taking algebra right now are doing it so that one day they can figure out how many t-shirts to buy and still break even. And other things, obviously. Now, if you think about back to your days of studying math in school, and remember your textbook. Your textbook had the sample problem that was all spelled out for you with every step of the way. Typically, if your teacher was lazy, he or she just regurgitated that sample problem, and then you had to go back home and actually try to understand it for yourself. Then you had homework, where you had at least half the answers in the back of the book, so that if you got stuck, you could kind of work backwards and put all the pieces together. And then there was a quiz. And the quiz really is there. Teachers say this, we don't believe them, but the quiz is really there to help the student understand what he or she knows or does not know. And then somewhere along the way, we learned our math. Of course, there's a final exam. We won't talk about that. Those are too painful. And then we go off into the world and we have to write our word problems for ourselves and apply what we've learned in school. And certainly if you took math, even though a lot of the math you don't use anymore, you understand why it is that one tree burning in the middle of nowhere is not going to cause a forest fire, but one tree burning in woods that are highly dense will. You understand why it is as we approach the summer solstice, the days are getting longer and longer each day. It's not a uniform process. You understand those things at least, and that's good. Well, I was thinking about that because I was thinking about the life of the apostles in the past 2 weeks. During those first 2 weeks of raising of Lazarus, Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and Pascha. And if you think about it, they kind of went through the process of sample problem, homework with the answers in the back of the book, and then a quiz. The sample problem is what? It's the raising of Lazarus. Everything is laid out there for you. I mean, in many ways, it couldn't be more obvious. Jesus waits 4 days for his friend to be in the tomb, calls him forward from the tomb. He is alive. And all of the apostles have been with Jesus the entire time. They get to hear it, see it for themselves, experience it. Everything from Jesus' grief at the death of his friend to the great joy of unwrapping Lazarus from his burial clothes. That was the sample problem. And then there was the homework with the answers in the back of the book, and that's the last half of Holy Week. Arrest, crucifixion, resurrection. And I say it was the homework with the answers in the back of the book because Jesus had been giving the answers all along, and if you didn't believe him, there was always the Old Testament. Jesus had laid it all out. Many of them still were very confused, didn't quite get it, but they were putting the pieces together just like any good student would who's trying to work through a homework problem having only the answer in the back of the book to help. And then there's the test. The test really is something that we are commemorating today, and it is in some ways the test of all the apostles, but certainly the test of Thomas. Thomas, who is not present when Jesus appears first to the apostles, even though they'd all had already heard the buzz about the empty tomb. And Thomas, who says, "I will not believe unless I can place my hand in the side," etc., etc. We all just heard that gospel reading. But he's there and he's put to the test. And when confronted with this makeup exam, if you will, he says, "My Lord and my God." He doesn't say, "Jesus, how could you have hidden this from me?" Or, "You guys, why didn't you tell me that this was really the truth?" or anything. He just says, "My Lord and my God." So even though he struggles with his test just a little bit, he passes with flying colors. But then, like all good students, and that's what, of course, mathetes means, like all good students, they have to apply what they've learned. Now there's one more little step after this, that's Pentecost, a feast we're very familiar with because of the name of our church. But how then do the apostles go forth and apply these lessons, this sample problem, their homework with the answers in the back of the book, their quiz, how do they apply it? Well, our epistle reading this morning tells us some of the things the apostles were able to do because they were able to learn. In those days, many signs and wonders were done among the people by the hands of the apostles. More than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So what did they do? They went out and they added multitudes of people to the church, and they healed people. That's what they did with the lessons they learned, which is something we're not completely unfamiliar with. We have not yet added multitudes to the church, but we've gone through periods of fairly rapid numerical growth here. And certainly, as you've heard me say before, one of the treasures of Holy Trinity is the fact that people come here and get healthier, spiritually healthier, emotionally healthier. I include myself in that category. So we know about a little bit about this experience of the apostles. But this morning, as we sit here on Thomas Sunday, having just been through Holy Week, and by the way, I thank you all for being here, and lest anyone think that this is a light attendance, this was a normal attendance in 2008. So thank you for being here. But as we sit here today, we not only have to reflect on our experience, our own experience of the past 2 weeks of being here for the raising of Lazarus and for Palm Sunday and for Holy Week and now today for Thomas Sunday, but I would submit that all of us, as we look back on our lives as adult Christians, we have to look back on our own working through of the problem, if you will. There was a time in our life as Christians when we were doing the sample problem. Perhaps as small children, our parents were telling us the basics of the faith. Perhaps when we first came to the faith, it was then that either through sermons or lessons or a Bible study or something, we had things laid out for us very plainly with no ambiguity. But then we had to do the homework, and the homework is, well, we know the answer, Jesus is risen, we know the homework, Jesus heals. We know the answer to the homework, that Jesus wants us to have life in abundance. But sure enough, there are times in life you're working out that problem and you've got the answer and you know you've got the answer, but getting there can be rather torturous. and even painful sometimes. And then there's the quiz. The quizzes that keep happening because life keeps throwing things at us. And the beauty, if you will, of being a Christian is the more we grow in Christ, the more that life's challenges keep getting thrown at us. The more He places before us, the more opportunities there are to proclaim Him and to join ourselves to Him. And all of us who sit here today as adult Christians, we know exactly what that experience is like, from sample problem through the tests that happen every day. But just like studying math, being a Christian isn't just about passing some test. It's about figuring out what the word problem is and then solving it. The apostles knew what the word problem was. The word problem was add to the church and heal people. And they did that. And each of us comes here today with our own word problem to write. Maybe it is, yes, after the resurrection of our Lord, after being here for Thomas Sunday, this is actually the time in my life I'm going to get even more serious about living out my own personal piety. I am going to pray more. I am going to fast more. I'm going to waste less time. Maybe our word problem involves going home and being a source of peace and stability and Christian hope in our own families. Maybe it means going off to work, working in a place where most of your co-workers couldn't name the Holy Trinity, much less identify the four Gospels, and yet somehow you will be a beacon of light in that place without people even knowing necessarily that you're a Christian. And then when they ask you, you can tell them why it is your life is so much calmer. Maybe for those of us at Holy Trinity, writing that word problem means really answering the question, how is it that we unlock this secret that we have here at Holy Trinity, this secret of Orthodox Christianity, the secret of being such a loving, beautiful, healing place? How do we unlock that and share it with the world that needs it so badly? I don't know what your word problem is. I'm thinking about my own and trying to write them out and solve them. But I know this, we can do it. And it's a word problem. It's a word problem that's much more important even than figuring out how many t-shirts to buy from a vendor so that you don't lose money. Now some of us, maybe all of us from time to time, we go, yeah, I get it, but I don't know. The quizzes, the tests, they're enough for me. What do I do beyond that? I don't know if I can do that, if I can go out and live the faith in my home, my workplace, in public. Can I bring people to the church? Can I do any of those things? The answer is, no, you can't on your own. I can't on my own. But that's why we're here. And so lest any of us thinks that we don't have the courage to write out the word problem of our own life and to solve it, I wanted to share with you some words I shared with you a week ago. Just a few of them. And to think about them. Think about them as we consider going forward from this two-week period of Saturday of Lazarus, Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Pascha, and now Thomas Sunday. Think about this as we who are students of Christianity, disciples, we who are mathites. Let no one mourn that he hath fallen again and again, for forgiveness hath risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior set us free. He hath destroyed it by enduring it. He spoiled Hades when he descended thereto. He vexed it even as it tasted of his flesh. Isaiah foretold this when he cried, Thou, O Hades, hast been vexed by encountering him below. It is vexed, for it is even done away with. It is vexed, for it is made a mockery. It is vexed, for it is destroyed. It is vexed, for it is annihilated. It is vexed, for it is now made captive. It took a body, and lo, it discovered God. It took earth, and behold, it encountered heaven. It took what it saw, and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and thou art annihilated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. Christ is risen and the tomb is emptied of the dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If he can do all those things, he can certainly work in our lives. And to close with the words of John Chrysostom, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.